Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. I'm Jim Blasingame, a Small Business Advocate. I'm excited about Walter Isaacson being on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Walter's has had an outstanding professional career. He's a former chairman of CNN. He's also was a managing editor of Time Magazine. He's an author of other outstanding books, including the one I'm holding in my hand, which is his brand new one, which is an outstanding work, folks, Benjamin Franklin, An American Life. And currently he's the president of the Aspen Institute. Walter Isaacson, welcome to the show.
Jim, it's good to talk to you.
It's good to have you here, and I just, you know what? I was looking at your book. I was reading as much of it as I could since I've had it, and you know what my main feeling, my main emotion was about having this book in my hand?
What was that?
Envy. I'm envious of you doing this book. I'm mad that I didn't do it. Not that I could have.
But I tell you, you could have, because Benjamin Franklin is basically a self-help book for businessmen. I mean, that's what his, you know, he wrote a great book called The Way to Wealth, which was, you know, just like all your small business books that you've talked about on your show so often. And he was America's first small businessman, and he called himself a leather apron because he kept shop, and he valued those virtues of a shopkeeper when he was at the Constitutional Convention.
Well, I know that you had a lot of fun doing this book. I know it was a lot of work because, folks, this is a serious work, and it weighs about 8 pounds, I think. It's a great document, and obviously very comprehensive. But it had to have been a lot of fun learning more about this man.
Well, you know, that's why it was easy to do, because it was a labor of love. You get a passion for somebody, you realize that even with his warts and all, he was a real flesh and blood human being who knew how to build a business, knew how to build a country, and knew how to build an American middle class. And I just got very excited as I was doing the book. It took me about 12 years.
Is that right? Well, I'm not the least bit surprised, folks. And you can, when you see the book, you'll see why he says that it took him so long, because it's a serious serious book. Walter, Benjamin Franklin, there are so many guys that we can go back, so many of the founders that we can go back and look at and say, if we hadn't had this guy, where would we be today? But nobody more so than Benjamin Franklin.
I think he invents the American character, which is the most important thing. He's the person who, you know, was a printer in Philadelphia, a runaway from Boston, a rags-to-riches tale. He learns all the good maxims of how to succeed in business, including, you know, the penny saved is a penny earned that he puts in his Poor Richard's Almanac. His Poor Richard's Almanac becomes a best-selling book in the colonies. And he's the only one of the founding fathers who's not an elitist, who's not somebody who was born with a lot of land or business or a merchant or that sort of thing. He's the one who represents the Main Street and the middle class values. And he says we ought to have more democracy, we ought to have more tolerance and respect for our fellow citizens, and, you know, we ought to honor those virtues like industry and frugality that help make our country strong.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, he was sort of the daddy of the founders, wasn't he?
I mean, he was sort of the granddaddy. He was much older than the rest of the founders. By the time of the Constitutional Convention, he's, you know, 84 years old, twice the average age of everybody else there. So they look upon him as the grand old sage.
Wasn't he the only one of the founders who was present at all the big events?
Yeah, he was there with the Declaration of Independence. In fact, he was on the committee that was in charge with writing it. So Jefferson does the first draft, and then he sends it over to Benjamin Franklin, who lived right down the street, just two doors away on Market Street in Philadelphia from where Jefferson was writing it. And he asks Franklin to edit it for him. And in fact, he has a wonderful letter, Jefferson does, saying, well, when all of his wisdom, will Dr. Franklin be so kind as to offer some of his edits? You know, people are much nicer to editors back then than they are now. And so And Franklin made an interesting little edit at the very beginning, because Jefferson had written, "We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable."
Mm-hmm.
And Franklin took his printer's pen with little backslashes that he used as a printer, and he changed it to, "We hold these truths to be self-evident."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "We want to make sure that we're not just asserting religion here, we're asserting reason and rationality, too, because our nation is going to be built on a separation of church and state where we're tolerant of all religions, tolerant of all people." Even, you know, he said, you know, when he was donating to the churches of Philadelphia, he donated to every single one of them, including to the Jewish synagogue there. And then he built a hall, and he said even if the Mufti of Constantinople was going to send somebody to preach Muhammad to us, we ought to at least give him a pulpit. So he was really in favor of religious tolerance, and he put that in the Declaration. And then, as you said, he was at the Constitutional Convention. He also negotiated the Treaty of Alliance we had with Paris in mm-hmm. France during the Revolution, and the treaty that ended the war with Britain. So all four of our founding documents, he was the only guy who involved in them all.
Yeah, the only one. And, you know, you also, you mentioned that he was sort of the founder of America's character. He was himself a character, wasn't he?
He really was. He was funny. I mean, that's one of the things you have to know about him. And he was funny in that very American way, that sort of, he liked inventing characters, just like Mark Twain did, or Will Rogers did, or Garrison Keillor does today, who are wry and folksy and homespun, and they pretend to be kind of innocent, like Poor Richard, or Silence Do Good, or Polly Baker. And they pretend to be kind of innocent, but they poke fun at the pretensions of the elite and of the well-born.
And that is very American, isn't it? It's one of the things...
That Cracker Barrel humor.
And not only that, but most of us, more and more, at least I try to be as much as I can, I try to not take myself too seriously.
He did that. He was great. He was the only one of the founders who knew how to laugh at himself as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He told a wonderful tale. You know how you make a list of virtues that you want to have or values you want to have if you want to succeed in business? And he was the first to do that in America. So he made a list of 12 of them, including, you know, frugality and industry. And he wrote about how he was going to master each one of those virtues. And he said he showed it around to a bunch of friends because he was so proud of it. And a Quaker friend of his looked at it and said, "You left one off the list." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "You left humility off the list. You're too proud of yourself." And Franklin said, "Okay, so I added humility to the list." And the bad thing was I was never able to master the virtue of humility. I never able to conquer it. But I was at least able to fake it. I was at least able to have the pretense of humility. And he said, "You know what I found out? That the pretense of humility is almost as good as humility itself, because at least it keeps you in line."
That's well said, Walter. What a fun story. Folks, we're visiting with Walter Isaacson, the author of the new book, Benjamin Franklin, available wherever books are sold. I got some more good questions for Walter right after these messages. Stay with us, please. Back, it's 23 after. Thank you for joining us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Walter Isaacson is our guest and our new friend. He's the author of the brand new book that I'm very excited about, Benjamin Franklin, An American Life. Walter, I know this book's available wherever books are sold.
Yeah, it's out there this week, for just in time for July 4th.
Check it out, folks. And we're talking about this great American, Benjamin Franklin, and authored by another great American, Walter Isaacson. Walter, I know that you're now the president of the Aspen Institute, and I want you to take a half a minute and tell us a little bit about Aspen.
Aspen Institute does many things, and sometimes people think of us as a think tank doing public policy studies, and we do a little bit of that. That's the type of thing Benjamin Franklin invented after he was a media mogul. He invented clubs like this. But the main thing that the Aspen Institute does is it helps teach and explore values for business executives and business leaders and leaders around the world. And we have small seminars in which people take a week and reconnect with their values. I know I needed to do that after working both at Time and CNN. I felt I had lost touch with some values that were important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend a week and you start with readings, and you read just small snippets of Plato, Aristotle, and then some of the great philosophers, all the way through to Americans like Abe Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, and Martin Luther King. And you learn about values, leadership, and management, and the timeless values that you have to keep in mind as you go through this world.
How do we, if we wanted to...
If you just go to the website, you know, anybody can sign up for the seminars. People think you have to be invited to go to one of the seminars. We have them, and they're reasonably priced, and they're out in Aspen, Colorado, most of them. And if you just go to the Aspen Institute website, which is www.aspeninstitute.org, it explains our seminars and our policy programs.
Sounds good. And check that out, folks, when you get a chance. And there's a lot of other information on the website that I think you'll benefit from just by noodling around on it there. Walter, let's get back to Benjamin Franklin. And I wanted to – here's an idea that I have thought about for a long time. I imagined four or five of the founders, certainly Jefferson, certainly Adams, certainly Franklin, and let's pick another one or two. And let's plop them down in the middle of America today.
Right. Do it with Washington, too, yeah.
Yeah, let's move them from 1776to today at the age that they were, with knowing what they knew then. I have said that I believe that in 90 days every one of them would be fully functioning.
I think Franklin would be the one who would be functioning first, because he was the most adaptable. He was the most entrepreneurial. He was the most technologically savvy, and he loved new things and new gadgets. So he's the guy who immediately, he lands on at our time, he's the one you immediately want to take over and have a beer with him at the pub.
Yeah.
And you want to show him your new, cell phone, and you want to explain to him how it works, and you want to show him the new business plan you have for some venture you got. And you probably want to talk, a little bit joke about Clinton's foibles and scandals or President Bush's foreign policy. He's the person you could talk to most easily. He's the one, I think, who's made of flesh and blood. The others feel like they're made of marble to me.
Yeah. Well said, and it just seems to me that the reason I said what I did was because all of the guys, but especially Franklin, they weren't just smart; they were visionaries way beyond my imagination. And I could just see them. I could just see Franklin walking around Washington saying, "You know what? I don't particularly like that, but basically, yeah, this is what I thought."
He would love the ambitious entrepreneurial spirit of America, but all of them were based in real values. I mean, they would worry a little bit about the partisanship and the nastiness that we have today, because they all felt that they were engaged in a noble new enterprise, this nation, built on Main Street values. And I think that they wouldn't like all the bickering that goes on today in politics. But they would love the way we have such a vibrant middle class, and that our democracy is based on its middle class, especially Franklin.
In reading some of the stuff I have about these guys, the book on Adams and some of the other things that I've been interested in for a long time, so many things that we have today that we think are so awful, a lot of those were in evidence in those days as well, the bickering
there was a very partisan press back then, and a lot of nasty articles in the press. But, what they didn't do was in government, I think they tried to reach common sense approaches when they were building a new government.
Walter, we've got about 1 minute left before we go, and you promised to come back and spend some more time with us in the future, and I really appreciate that. But before we go, in this last minute, Benjamin Franklin was the middle class's representative at those events, wasn't he?
He was the one who the leather apron, and he never liked wearing the fancy wigs or the swords or the ceremonial outfits. He took great pride in being a shopkeeper, and I hope people will read my book, but I also hope someday they'll pick up the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin. It's written as a letter to his son, and he says, "Remember where we're coming from, son." That's the whole point of this autobiography, is it tells him, "Remember we were shopkeepers, that we were hardworking, that we weren't fancy types of people. That it was through our diligence that we were able to rise in this world and, as he put it, dine with kings. And remember that diligence in your calling is the most important thing you can do on this earth."
Small business owners, I can think of no better book that you could read this week to find out about your roots as an entrepreneur than this book, Benjamin Franklin, An American Life by Walter Isaacson. Walter, thank you for spending time with us today. We're looking forward to our next visit already.
Jim, I'd love to be back with you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Walter Isaacson, ladies and gentlemen, with the Aspen Institute. That's aspeninstitute.org. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break, right back with another new friend, Rebecca Barnett. Stay with us. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.